This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 57. If you're listening on drop day, it is March 27th. Episode 57 is the Greg Weiser episode because he stole Joelie's number. Joelie, I guess, is number 56, which, ugh, I wish I'd known that last time. Sorry! This is the official podcast of being the voice for the voiceless. And I say that because Sammy can't speak. Sammy, you want to say something?
Yeah, hi, it's me. I lost my voice, but I'm still here.
Yeah, he's not sick. He just slept under a ceiling fan and talked a bunch this week to Red Sox players, which was pretty cool. But, you know, you like, what's the expression? Someone help me. It's like you get what it's like you pay the price or something. I don't know.
You reap what you sow?
That works. You reaped what you sowed? I don't know. Like you got a bunch of good shit happening to you last week. So now you've got a bunch of bad stuff, but hopefully it stops before Thursday night.
I feel fine. What happened was I slept under the fan one night, and I was like, oh, my throat's killing me now. Let's not do that again. So the next night I tried to sleep on like the side of the bed so the fan wouldn't hit me like directly in the fucking throat, and it didn't work. So I could barely talk on our last day, like when we were going to the airport, and then I get home. And my voice is just gone, but I'm still here, still going.
And you would say that it was worth it, right?
Oh, dude, what a week. What a week.
Yeah, but this is also the official Red Sox podcast at WEI. Before we get going, because this is a season preview episode, this is an episode that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. I know, Sam, you were talking about how excited we were to record this episode. It's a season preview episode, but before we get there, remember to hit that subscribe button, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey. Hit that subscribe button, rate us 5 stars, leave a comment. You're going to have to leave a comment and tell us what you think of our predictions because we're going to have a lot of takes and you're going to have to tell us about them. If you're on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button, comment there as well, subscribe to WEI. A lot of good stuff coming out of there, a lot of good stuff from us. So we'll keep pushing it out and you guys will keep enjoying. Follow us on social, at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy and Pat. Guys, we're like here. I would say that this is the last off-season episode of PlayTessie for the year, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you want to count, like, if we do the Mariners series preview. So either last or second to last.
I think that counts as an in-season episode.
Okay. That'll be game day. Yeah.
That pod is going to drop on a game day and it's going to be talking about the games that are to come. Like that's a season podcast.
Oh, I can't wait. I feel like these next 2 days or day and a half, it's going to feel like a week.
Yeah. It's going to be a long
day. Yeah. This always happens every year. And like, it was great that we like got to go to Florida and like kill a couple of those days there. But obviously this week is going to be like the longest week ever. And like Thursday, oh my God, like there's going to be other baseball on and that's going to be fun. But Thursday is going to be absolutely horrendous to get through to get to 10 p.m.
Drag. That's going to be the longest day ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. But until then, what we've got today, we've got some questions put out there, and we're going to get our preseason predictions here. A lot of prompts here. So we're hopefully going to be able to touch on pretty much everything in this episode. So I think I'll just kick it off. We'll end the off season. We'll end the off season by giving it a final off season grade. We've got, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 questions here. So we're going to have to be semi-quick with these to get through them. But we're going to get through all of them. Off-season grade, Sammy, go first. Give me your grade and quick justification. What do you got?
My off-season grade is a D. And I was going to go like D+, D-. I kept going back and forth. I was waffling. And I landed on a D because... some good additions, sure. We like Tyler O'Neill. Vaughn Grissom could be a guy who's here for a long time. Richard Fitz, oh my God, he looked great today against the Rangers. Mostly their starters, too. So some good additions. Sorry if I'm forgetting any, but good bullpen additions, too. However, Lucas Giolito as well. I have to give them credit for that. There's no way to predict an injury, so I'm glad they went out and got a starter. Unfortunate it didn't work out in this first year, but hey, can't predict injuries. Anyway, the reason it's a D and not higher is because the expectation was way, 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 way more than this. At the beginning of the offseason, we were talking about who are we going to pair with the ace that they get? Who's going to be the number two guy behind the ace? And I've referenced this tweet before. I remember sending out probably in like December. I said, would you be okay if the Red Sox sign Yamamoto and the second guy is Lucas Giolito? And I want to say half of the answers were no, that's not enough. So that gives you a good idea of what the expectation was heading into the offseason. Now, does that mean this team is going to suck? No. Does that mean this team's going to be good? Obviously not. It's just not what we expected. So unfortunately, I'm giving the Red Sox front office a D for this offseason. Of course, with the nuance of, it's pretty clear that Craig Breslow was under a lot of limitations, so hard to blame him too much. We're looking at John Henry. And yeah, so D, that's my offseason grade.
Good, are you muted, bud?
I was muted. I don't know why. You're talking crazy. I didn't click that. I want to say Coop did that from the back.
Coop, that wasn't me. Don't blame me. Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Don't you wish that devil on me, Ricky Bobby.
All right, whatever. He's talking weird and it's interesting.
Pat, what's your grade? Don't edit that out.
No, yeah, you better keep that dead air.
That's staying.
You caused that dead air, Coop. I know you did.
No, that's staying. I can't believe you would levy that against me.
I think you did.
All I do is support you. I edited so many goddamn videos for you guys this weekend. It's just, Coop muted me. Coop muted me.
But he's the real MVP. Coop is the real MVP for editing those videos. He's doing a hell of a job with that. But you did mute me, and I will hold that against you.
It takes a family to raise a village, or whatever the saying is.
There you go. Right,
get back to
it. Isn't it the other way around? Whatever. Pat, what's your off-season grade?
I feel bad because Sammy kind of alluded to it. I would give Breslow like a good B+ because of what he did within the parameters. But that's not my grade. That's my Breslow grade. The Red Sox offseason grade is a C-.
Yeah, that's not the question.
Yeah, the offseason grade is a C-. Because if you think about it, we had expectations of an ace for sure. I mean, we were floating around fucking Shohei, Yamamoto, trading for Burns,
that was a
trading
thing.
For Cease. Like, on paper, they got a, fingers crossed, solution at second base for the next however many years they need him. They did sign a starting pitcher in Giolito, and like they got O'Neal for good value. They got Richard Fitz for Verdugo, who kind of felt like he was going anyways.
Did we lose Pat? Oh, he's back.
I completely lost Pat there. This is a great way to conclude the spring training. I just want to say, boys.
Can you guys hear me?
This is going great.
Yeah, you're Pat, back try, now, sort of, kind of.
Try leaving and coming back. Pat's at a C-. Pat's offseason grade is a C-, but his connection is a D-. My connection was bad before we started, but as far as I can see, I think I'm pretty good right now.
I'm going to finish up what Pat was saying. So he would like to give them a C because he doesn't have the balls to give them a D, but he also isn't dumb enough to give them a B like me. I would give the Red Sox a B. No, I'm just joking. I would never do that.
I was like, what?
Who would give the Red Sox a D? Just a flat D. They didn't do anything for me.
I'll go now. My Red Sox offseason grade, C-, and it could have been so much better too if they had just extended Casas. And like, obviously, like they in theory still could, but I'm just going to be under the assumption that that's not happening. If they extended Casas, I would have been totally fine giving them a C+, because it's like, okay, you don't have money to spend, but you're doing what you can and locking up longer term money and guys that you want to be here for a long time. It seems like their head's in the right place with that, but it hasn't gotten done, and we need results in that capacity. It is funny. It was Sammy or Pat. I think Pat said that, like, Shohei, we were talking Shohei. And it's like, it's hilarious to laugh at, but like, that was a legitimate thing we talked about. And it wasn't like joking. Like, we were actually talking about that. So that being a thing, and like now basically having the same starting rotation, an offense that I think is not as good on paper as last year. I think the bullpen is I don't want to say significantly improved because it was already very good, but I think it looks better than it did last year. You got to give them credit where credit's due for the things they have done. But the fact of the matter is we were expecting fireworks. We didn't get fireworks, and they didn't extend Tristan Casas. So it's a C- for me. Next question. And I'll kick it to Pat first on this. We'll like trade off who goes first in these. Pat, your breakout star for the Red Sox this year.
My breakout star this year will be Vaughn Grissom when he is healthy and playing. I think he's going to be a legit contact bat. I think he's going to play serviceable second base defense. I don't love some of the reports that came out or some of the scouting reports, but I think he'll be good enough until guys like Marcelo come up. But I think that bat plays. I think that bat is like not to the floor, the ceiling of Luis Arraez, but like a true legit contact bat that gets on base. That is my breakout star for this year, Vaughn Grissom and his bat.
He's a big dude. I was like kind of chuckling at the Xander stuff that they were saying beforehand, but like when I stood right next to him, I like looked up and I was like, God, yeah, they were. He does like kind of look like how Xander looked when he was young. Like that body will fill out, and he's gonna be a good player. I thought about picking him, Pat. I didn't because I'm a little bit worried about like how being set back and being left behind and needing a spring training. Like we've seen that so many times where guys are like, oh, he didn't have a real spring training. Like so, it kind of set him up for a failure of a season. Like Trevor Story's first year here, so. We'll see, but I like the pick. I think he's going to end up being a very good player for the Sox, whether it be now or whether it starts next year. Sammy, breakout star for the Sox. What do you got?
So my pick is a little bit weird. I'm going to go with Masataka Yoshida. And my reasoning is because he's much better set up to succeed this year in that we know all about the tired legs. His manager from Japan warned Cora before last year. I think the Red Sox did pretty well in trying to limit the weight put on his legs, if that makes any sense, like how often he's playing the field, giving him off days, etc. This year, it looks like he's going to be the DH, so less outfield reps. Also, he's not playing like 15, 20 extra games in the World Baseball Classic. So I just think this is the year Yoshida puts it together, kind of. Like we saw a lot of flashes last year. There were multiple stretches where we were kind of like, ooh, this guy could be like a batting title type guy. And then it all kind of fell apart down the stretch. So I think Yoshida puts it together for a full season. And I'm fairly confident in saying that as well.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I'll have my take on Yoshida a little bit later, but I like your approach because it's not the way. If you look at Yoshida's stats as for the entire year last year, you cannot say that he broke onto the scene, even though like for a second it felt like that was happening. So no, I think that's a fair one.
He was good. Good, not great, though. I think he has a really, really strong season this year. Of course, he's limited, excuse me, but I think he's, like I said, he's much better set up to succeed in 2024, so I'm excited to see that.
Yep. My breakout star, I'm going to go, and like this is a take that I've had, and I've like kind of abandoned it, but I'm bringing it back. Garrett Whitlock is going to be the breakout star of this year's Red Sox. And I'm not just saying that because he had such a great start today as we record in Texas. Or wait, no, yesterday as we record in Texas. He six innings in a run. I mean, he has completely overhauled his repertoire. It is much, what is the right word? Well, much more well-rounded. It's a much more well-rounded repertoire. It feels like it's changed up his back. He's changed his fastball. He's got a whole bunch of new shit that he's throwing out there right now. And the results have been there this spring. He's always been a guy who's been like, he's had a lot of pitches, but it's just been a matter of like trying to figure out how often to throw each one, like which ones need to be worked with, change the pitch shape a little bit. And it feels like he might be there. He's going to get his opportunity. I was really torn between Whitlock and Cutter, and I'm surprised neither of you guys took Cutter, but I don't know. It's interesting. There's some upside in this year's rotation. And I think you could have a couple of breakout starters on this Red Sox rotation. And I chose to take Whitlock, but to be honest with you, I could have taken Houck or Crawford and had plenty of argument to do it. We'll move to the next one and screw it. I don't want to go two in a row. We'll kick it to Sammy. I'll just keep going back and forth between you guys. Slept on player that you think is going to have a big year this year. What do you got, Sammy?
Sorry, someone who I think is going to have a big year?
Who slept on?
Oh, okay. I don't know if this guy slept on. Actually, yes, he is. He slept on by Red Sox fans because of what we've seen. Trevor Story. I think this is the most obvious pick of all time. I wouldn't be shocked if one of you also picked Story. Gordo and I were just in Fort Myers. Holy crap. He looked so friggin' good. Every infield drill, every hitting drill, the games, like everything he did looked so friggin' crisp. He's finally healthy. He's finally getting a regular spring training, and I can't wait to see it. How about that home run off of whoever in Texas? I think it was Brian Burke, who's a good pitcher. Whoever it was, he friggin' roped one Monday night in Texas. He looks outstanding. So I'm expecting like 25-25 season from him with like gold glove caliber defense. It's a really lofty expectation, but like the way he's looking – oh my God. And I hate to be the guy who gets excited by spring training stats, but oh my God, he's been great. So I'm super excited to see Story. I think he's going to make a lot of people look very silly. And as Pat said earlier today on Twitter, the Trevor Story bandwagon train is leaving soon. So hop on before it's too late.
Choo choo.
Sammy, it's getting harder and harder for me to continue to preach to myself to not buy in until you see it in the regular season games, because it's just been a couple of years of underwhelming play from him, at least on the offensive side of the ball. But it's hard to be there. I'm going to stay there because literally the regular season starts the day after you're listening to this episode. So like, I'm just going to stay there. But like, I would not be surprised. Like, yeah, like you said, we saw it. Everyone has been watching it on TV. Like, he looks like he's that dude. And God, I hope that it carries over. I think there's a good shot it will, but I hope it does. Pat, slept on player you think is going to have a big year. Who do you got?
I was going to say Story, but for the sake of variety, and I do truly believe it, I think Tyler O'Neill is going to have a great season.
No, say Story. God damn it, Pat.
He's looked very good this spring. The calf looks good. Defense and wherever he's been playing, right, left, doesn't matter. He's looked great out there. The speed is still there. He got a little fat, but no, I'm kidding. He looks great. I'm big on Tyler O'Neill this year. I think that he might return to like a 20-25 homer guy if he gets 450, 550 in that range of at bats, I think that he's going to return to that peak Tyler O'Neill that was an absolute stud a couple of years ago. That's my pick.
I also, as you can probably hear, I picked Tyler O'Neill too. And I'll justify it because this guy is the definition of slept on amongst Red Sox fans. The Red Sox traded for a guy who just a couple of years ago had a 912 OPS. He hit, 34 home runs, stole 15 bases. Like, this is a guy who does it all. He's won a couple of gold gloves. Like, he does it all. And he's shown he can do it all. And yet, for the rest of the offseason, we've been hearing Sox fans talking about him platooning. And, like, maybe he's not going to play every single day because he has an injury history and you want to be careful with him. And he's already been hurt this spring and they've been being careful with him, DHing him a lot. But this is a guy who's shown that when he's healthy, he can be really, really, really good. And he's shown us that this spring. Like, we saw it. That ball he hit in Texas was absolutely blasted and his BP looked different than other guys' BPs. He hits the ball really freaking hard. He can move well despite being absolutely ginormous. Like, do yourself a favor and go watch Tyler O'Neill take some BP and hope to yourself that he's wearing like a tight shirt or something, because it's ridiculous what he looks like. Like, that was one of my bigger, like, we had some crazy shit happen this week, but like, being up close to Tyler O'Neill and like looking at his bicep might have like been a top three craziest thing. So
cartoonishly large arms. It looks fake almost. And it's funny because he was saying, he mentioned this to Bradfo, he's got a farmer's tan and it makes him look somehow even bigger. Like, it's absurd. Like, you see the guy and you're like, oh my God, who the hell is that? Dude, he's just massive. By the way, to be fair to Red Sox fans, Gordo, I agree that everyone's talking about the platoon, but I think that's more people also like Thick Willie.
Yeah, you know? I get it. And to be honest, I don't know if we have a question that's going to let me touch on Thick Willie, so I'll do it here. I think Red Sox fans have been a little, just a little, and this doesn't have to do with the fact that he hasn't had a good spring. They've just been a little bit quick to start buying into the Thick Willie thing. Like, I think he can be good, but like, we're buying into Thick Willie in the same way that Red Sox fans bought into Bobby Dalbec after 2020. Like, it was in 2020, it was like he had like a really good, like, 2 weeks of baseball max, and it's like, oh my God, like, this guy's gonna be the starting first baseman forever. And then Thick Willie is basically that, but he had a little bit less prospect pedigree. I think he can be good, but I'm not willing to say that he should be starting over a guy who's literally put together a 900 plus OPS season and looks awesome.
He seems like a guy who should go to AAA and get everyday at bats. I don't know if he's going to, but he just looks like he's pressing. Like, just
I'd
go
agree.
Down. Reset, like, we've seen.
I don't
him
think they're going to do it though, Sammy. Like, really the way they've aligned the roster.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll happen.
I think Ref Snyder going down kind of gave him a roster spot.
He was swinging in the cage though. He should be back soon. We saw him hitting, so hopefully he's not out for too long.
Hopefully it's not crazy. And even though Thick Willie's a lefty and Ref Snyder's a righty, and like, obviously, like. Yeah. They would be an interesting platoon if that's the way it shook out. Like, if O'Neill got hurt and Ref Snyder came back and Ref Snyder faced the lefties and Willier faced the righties, you'd actually probably get pretty good numbers out of that. But, I mean, I think that this stuff will shake itself out soon enough. Like, someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to need to go down for a couple of days, like, sit on the bench. I mean, not go down to AAA. So I like to think that this stuff will work itself out. But the fact that we're talking about the outfield depth like this, and, like, we'll get into the bullpen stuff, like, that there's a lot of depth there. Like, these are good problems to have. The Red Sox have some bad problems, but these are good problems to have. Let's do another one. I want to say, Pat's going first on this one. Team Cy Young, Pat, who you got?
Team what? Oh, Team Cy Young.
Cy Young.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Ooh. I mean, come on.
No, I'm throwing you guys an alley-oop. You know, I'm going to go Whitlock.
Wow.
And that is stunning. Ah. Stunning coming from me, the guy who for 6 months has begged him not to be in the rotation.
Why him?
He has – It's spring training. I understand. Do I think he's going to have a better year than Brian Bayo? No. I'm picking Garrett Whitlock, however, because I'm
wanting to hear you guys talk about Brian.
No. Because I do think Whitlock has a great year. I want to talk about Garrett Whitlock.
I also want to talk about Garrett Whitlock. I love Garrett Whitlock.
Let him talk about Garrett Whitlock.
His repertoire, like Gordo has mentioned, is much deeper. He is pitching guys backwards. He's pitching them forwards. He's pitching guys sideways. He looks great. His stuff is playing well. The changeup is all the way back. That new cutter looks great. His slider sweeper, I don't know what he really classifies it as right now, has looked great. The fastball has life. The repertoire is now fully there. He was always kind of a two-pitch pitcher. We'll figure out a third pitch. Maybe it plays, maybe it doesn't. He now has two really good pitches. The third one is very much along, and the cutter looks like it's going to be there soon. That is a 3-4 pitch starting pitcher right there. And he is a guy who, fingers crossed, is going to eat innings. So that's my pick.
What did he, like, it was, he didn't he throw 6 innings last night with like 67 pitches? Like, that's ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. He is incredibly efficient because he can now deceive guys and throw strikes anywhere he wants.
By the way, it's so, so nice to watch him pitch. He's so quick.
Yeah.
Gets the ball, gets on the mound, throws it. Easy.
And that's what makes him look like a starter. Like, he's always pitched like a starter. Like, you see so many of these guys, like, dilly-dally around guys. They take their time. They try to set him up to swing and miss at stuff outside the zone. And I know the Red Sox are really trying to get away from that. But, like, those guys are suited for the bullpen. You can throw 20 to 22 pitches in an inning because you're only going to be in there for an inning. Whitlock wants to be efficient. He wants to get the ball. He wants to throw it. I really do like that pick. But – it's not going to be my pick. I'll go now because I just set myself up. I'm going with Brian Bayo for kind of obvious reasons. He is the best pitching prospect the Red Sox have had in probably over a decade, unless I'm forgetting someone that busted. Like, Henry Owens, when was he up? Like, that must have been a decade ago. And he might have been the best pitching prospect we've had since Owens.
11, I think, for Owens. Hullwins? Poor guy.
God. Crazy, but Bayo's been working. He's been improving that slider. That's kind of been the most important thing with him. Just get that put away pitch. He's got a disgusting changeup. That sinker is really good. It's basically, he's got like a cutter and a slider, stuff he's working with, trying to figure out that third put away pitch, and it feels like he's kind of got it. I think improving the defense, having Story in there for a full season is going to be a big benefit to him. And he's just a guy, like, we see this with guys his age that have done what he's done. They take steps forward right around this time. You got a couple years for Bayo here where you can kind of expect him to take a jump forward. I think he's going to do that this year. And if he takes a jump forward from what he was last year, especially if you look at the numbers before basically September hit, like, this is a guy who could be a front of the rotation arm this year. Sammy, what do you got?
Brian Bayo. Next question.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Stolen base leader. Sammy, who you got for this?
Stolen base leader. This one was easy. I was gonna be bold and go with Trevor Story, but it's Jarren Duran. He is like, it's funny. When he came up, he was fast, but not a good base stealer, if that makes sense. Like, being fast is one thing. Being able to steal bases is another. I think last year, he looked a lot better at stealing bases and using that speed to his advantage. Captain Obvious over here. So I'm going to go with Duran. I think he's going to have a massive season overall. We saw how psyched he was when he made the roster for the first time. I'm glad he chose to stick with baseball instead of becoming a Navy SEAL. So, yeah, Jarren Duran, I think he'll have like 30, close to 30 stolen bases. I love it.
Pat, what do you got?
I'm going to say Don Rafaela.
Woo! Yes.
I think – I don't know how the batting average is going to be. Everyone kind of has mentioned his swing and miss stuff. But regardless, he's still a guy that makes good contact. He'll swing and miss a lot. His contact, he's a dead pull hitter at times. If he gets on first, he has the speed. You saw the Colton Wong slide. He has the agility to get in. He's a guy. I think him and Jarren are going to be pretty neck and neck all season in terms of stolen bases. That's my pick. I think Sedan is going to have a solid rookie year. I think anyone expecting him to be in the Wyatt Langford, Jackson Holliday conversation is probably overestimating how good he's going to be in this first year. But I think of him as a Jackie Bradley with a better contact tool. And he's definitely faster than Jackie. So that's my pick. Sit on Rafaela.
Pat, I'm going to join you there. I'm taking Rafaela too. I was torn between Rafaela and Duran. Duran's going to get on base more and he's going to get more at bats. But Rafaela, it just feels like every time he gets on, he wants to go. And Jarren can be a little bit hesitant to go sometimes. He's definitely, Sammy, as you said, improved as a base stealer. But that willingness to put it on the line and go has not always been there. And with Rafaela, it just feels like he always wants to take off. So even if Jarren Duran is on base more, I could see Rafaela topping 30 stolen bases in his rookie year. He did it last year combined with the minors. He topped 30. I could see him doing it again in the bigs. Let's go. Okay, biggest. So we're gonna separate for the next two questions here. You're going to have four options. You've got offense, defense, starting pitching, and bullpen. Those are your choices. So what is your biggest concern? Which of those four is your biggest concern? And Pat, you can go first on this one.
Until proven otherwise, it's still going to be starting pitching. I like what I've seen in the spring. Like I said, Whitlock has proven me incredibly wrong. The repertoire looks good. Every outing he's had has been great. Hauk has looked good. Pavetta's weird because his ERA in the spring wasn't great, but he led the spring in stuff plus. So I'm curious to see how that. Yeah. So I'll be curious to see how that all translates. Bayo. And then Cutter's kind of been a little middle of the road. I was expecting him to have a better spring. Not a bad spring by any means. The groundwork and the peripherals and on the outside looking in, it looks okay right now. Talk to me in July. I want to see how this holds up over an extended period of time and especially deep into the season. I mean, if everyone is set healthy, like post All-Star break, like I think that's when you're really going to see how solid, how steady these guys are over a full season. I think if you pull their April and May ERAs and the pitching data on the starting pitching, it might look really good. But I think over a full course of the season, they have to be able to maintain that to be, okay, we have a lot of rotational pieces for 2025.
Sammy, where are you at on this? Are you taking the same thing as Pat?
Yeah, I agree with everything Pat said. I have to see it to believe it. Gordy, you mentioned this earlier in the show. A lot of upside, but it's easy to say that. So it's not as much the – how do I put this? It's not as much the talent that I'm concerned with. It's the durability and the eating innings. I was really excited about Giolito because I thought that very much helped this team cover up a deficiency from 2023 in that the rotation did not give you nearly enough innings. And now you're pretty much running out that same group in 2024. So it's not that I don't think these guys are good pitchers. They are. But can they give you a lot of innings? Because we saw what that, like what happened last year when you're going 3, 4, even 5 innings a start on a regular basis, your bullpen's going to get burnt out. Luckily, I think they have better bullpen depth this year. Last year, the bullpen was great. I think the depth got even better this year. So they do have a safety net, but as far as my biggest concern, pretty comfortably, I'm going to put the starting rotation.
Yeah, and I love your points about the bullpen. I'm going to save my bullpen talk for the next one because we're going to go into the biggest strength. I'm taking a different answer from you guys, though. I get it. There's a lot of upside yet uncertainty in the rotation. But I think there is just as much, maybe not just as much, but almost as much uncertainty on the offense and a lot less upside. So we talked about this a lot. There's really only two guys on the offense that we can look at going into this season and say, I'm sure that you are going to have a really good year. Like we talk about Tyler O'Neill being a potential breakout stud or slept on stud and Trevor Story being slept on. And we talk a lot about Jaren Duran, but like, these are guys, like we've seen what Jaren Duran is capable of in a good way. We've also seen the other side of that. We've seen Tyler O'Neill get injured a lot. We've seen Trevor Story get injured a lot. We've seen Trevor Story not hit. We've seen Yoshida the last 2 months of the year not hit. We've seen Connor Wong has had an incredible spring. We saw him be a not very impactful bat last season. Like, what are we going to rely on Willy Abreu? Like, he's had like 20-something games in the bigs. Rob Refsnyder coming back from injury didn't have a very good final however many months last year. There's a lot of downside in the offense. And last year, by OPS plus ballpark adjusted, they were exactly league average at 100. And they lost Justin Turner, their clutchest, and honestly, maybe their best hitter. I don't know, maybe give it to Casas. I don't know. But certainly their clutchest hitter and potentially their most important hitter, they lost there. And Verdugo for a while was hitting for you, and he's gone too. And like obviously he got replaced, so like I'm not as concerned about that. But Justin Turner left, and they basically didn't replace him, and you're just kind of hoping that guys break out and do replace him. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope they hit. I could see them hitting. I could also see them pitching. So I'm going to need to see it to believe it with the offense. I don't know why I don't like share that mentality with the pitchers. Maybe it's just because they've shown me tangible results of what they're changing and I just like buy into that. But yeah, the offense, I'm going to need to see it. But biggest strength, Sammy, what do you got for the biggest strength?
I'm going to go with the offense. I feel like the offense is slow. Yeah. Yeah. Right after you dumped on it. Look,
I didn't mean to dump on it like that. There's just a lot of downside there. Players. Yeah. God.
All right. To state the obvious, you have Devers and Casas. Devers had a down year, quotation marks, down year last year. We all agree it wasn't his best. He still hit 33 home runs and drove in 100. So I assume he bounces back. It looks like lowering his hands. We saw that on Tuesday in the spring training game. He got up to a pitch that was absolutely painted up and in on him. And he hit Has it been 5 minutes? He hit a fucking missile into the stands. It took like 0.1 seconds to get out. So he looks great. Tristan Casas, year two. This is a guy you can just expect to keep improving. I don't see no reason for him not to improve. He's going to have a lot of ligaments and tendons that he's feasted on to make him even stronger. I love that. Story I already talked about. He looks great. And I think that he can replace that Justin Returner, I almost said. Returner. He's returning. He's not, sadly. I think he can replace that Justin Turner offense. That's what, 23 home runs, 800 OPS. I think Story can give you that. And of course, don't get me wrong, I am downing the Kool-Aid from spring training with Story. So if I'm wrong, feel free to dunk on me for believing in Story spring training stats, but I think he can do it. Jaren Duran, he was great when he was healthy last year. He's going to be atop that order. Vaughn Grissom will be back eventually. He's a guy who's been, you know, a lot of good things I've heard about his bat. It just has to be healthy. Who, Connor Wong can hit. He can hit. Lou Maloney said the Red Sox love his bat, underrated. I could just go on. Tyler O'Neill, Gordo, you mentioned him. He just has to touch the ball with the bat, and it'll go 487 feet. Yeah, I like the offense. I think it's to the point where it's almost slept on. Yoshida, like I spoke about earlier, offense is going to be fine. I think it's going to be one of the better offenses in Major League Baseball. And you can go to like OPS Plus. Look, last year they were average, but you know, you factor in Fenway, it gets a little foggy. I'm pretty confident in this offense, and I'm excited to see it cook Luis Castillo on opening day.
Pat, biggest strength?
I'm going bullpen. I think depth aside, because the depth is, you have guys like Zach Kelly and Brendan Bernardino in the minors. You have Chris Murphy, who's hurt, and you still have a very legit Major League bullpen. And the one thing that I am actually excited about with this bullpen compared to like other years is that these are guys who have had Major League experience and have had low ERAs. Like, these guys have had success. There's very little risk in the guys in the bullpen right now. You have Jensen, who's should be possibly a Hall of Famer down the line. Chris Martin is coming off probably the best Red Sox relief season since Koji Uehara. You have Winkowski, who was sub three. You have Campbell, who dealt in Seattle before we got him for Luis Urias, who we were going to non-tender anyways. Weissert's pitch shapes are a thing out of hell. Those things must be insanely hard to hit. So his stuff will play. Justin Slayton has looked every bit like Garrett Whitlock did after the Rule 5 draft. And I don't think that's crazy to say. He's got some shades of Whitlock in him. You have, like, down the line, you have guys who, Joely, I almost forgot Joely, lefty stud, the experience. So down the line, including the minors, you have guys who, A, have the stuff that plays out of the bullpen, and B, have the success and the experience to carry themselves through a full season. Not to mention, you have Liam Hendricks, who went healthy, is a top five closer in baseball coming back midseason.
Yeah.
That's not many teams can say that they have legit Major League bullpen depth like that. And we have seen for years and years, I would say since the Royals won the World Series, how important a bullpen is in the playoffs.
I feel like people have forgotten how good Hendricks is. He's nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, it might be because he like kind of struggled last year. Like, what, his like three games that he pitched, like coming off of a cancer recovery. Like, it's crazy to sleep on him because of that. Like,
yeah, buddy, the guy literally had to fight cancer. I think he'll be okay. And by the way, wasn't he not that bad? Yeah, I mean, 5.4 in a few games. Come on. That's not
enough.
How
many games was it?
Five. He pitched five innings.
Come on. Get out.
The guy's good. He'll teach you about Vegemite. He's great. Yeah, I'm excited for that. That's like a sneaky storyline for the season. And like, I hate to say this, Kenley will probably get traded at the deadline, unless the Sox are like contending, which
we'll get into that. We'll get into that one.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that. But yeah.
Yeah, that one's coming up.
Right. I almost spilled the beans.
Don't spill the beans. Pat, I was going to go with bullpen, and I'm still going to go with bullpen, but I was going to go with bullpen before, and I like when I was thinking about like why I was going to pick it, I didn't even think about Liam Hendricks. Side note, it is going to be very funny when like the Red Sox are like hovering like a few games over 500 when everyone wants them to add at the deadline, and then they come back and they're like, oh, we're getting Hendricks back, man. That's a deadline addition. But that aside, like last year, that back end of the bullpen was so locked down, and like obviously it's impossible to expect Chris Martin to do that exact 105 ERA again, but like you could expect good years again from Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin, hopefully from Josh Winkowski too as the setup guy, but like we'll see if his role is like actually that different. The back of that bullpen is just, it's the same guys as it was, but now like the one thing that the one bone to pick that you had with the bullpen was they were bringing up like Caleb Ortz. And I always forget the stupid guy from the Angels. What was his name with the mustache?
Garza.
Not Weiss. Garza. God, Garza was really bad. Like they were bringing these, like the South African guy, I forget his name.
Taylor.
Yeah. There was obviously Bear Claw. Like they were the bat, like at any given moment. Oh, Denelson Lamet. I mean, I could name these guys forever. But like at any given moment, there was always like one or two relievers and at the bottom of that bullpen where if it was like the eighth inning and they're down by four, like you're not going to want to burn one of your dudes. So you're putting those guys in and all of a sudden like a 2-4 run deficit turns into like a 6-8 run deficit and that game's over. So hopefully the Red Sox are able to stay in games and hopefully they have that clutch gene, because it feels like once the bullpen gets into the game, it doesn't really matter who it is. Like I don't even know where Isaiah Campbell and Greg Weiser and Justin Slayton are going to slot in this bullpen. But we'll get into them later. But like it doesn't matter if it's like the fifth inning or whatever. Like I feel confident in this moment. I feel confident with pretty much anyone that they're going to put in there. The only question marks I think right now are, is Chase Anderson going to be able to be valuable, or is he literally only going to be able to be valuable in terms of if a guy goes down in like the second inning and gets booted out of the game, and it's just you need someone to eat the innings in a game that's already over? And will Joely be able to be your lefty? And the beauty is, even if he's not, you've got Brendan Bernardino, who was somehow optioned to the minors. And we'll get into that more in the season preview episode, because we'll do some storylines and that's definitely a big one. But Bernardino and Zach Kelly both being in the minors, both being bullpen depth guys, is crazy. Like that is such a valuable asset to a team that people don't seem to care about very much, but it is a thing. Okay. Biggest concern for an individual player. So who's an individual player that you're a little bit concerned about right now? Pat, I'll kick to you first on this.
I feel like a scumbag because I'm definitely taking Sammy's, but it's Rafi's defense. Oh, all right. Yeah. No, I think Rafi's the weirdest player defensively that I can remember, because he will absolutely bury a routine ground ball, throw over to first, but then he will just sprawl like a cat and snag yesterday. One and throw from his ass, and it's right on target. Yesterday. That's what I'm saying. Like, you do not know what you're getting. It's the craziest thing. So I think Story over there will help a ton, because before, when short and third kind of sucked defensively, it was, all right, who's going to get it? Now Story has the range, the ability, the arm, the speed to call him off on some of those harder ground balls kind of to his glove side, but that he might have to spin and throw or plan awkwardly and throw. Story can take those away from him. So that will help a little bit, but I just hope that he nails down the routine stuff and like can at least be league average. Please, just league average. That's it.
Oh, that'd be huge. I think he, it's like if he's not, if he's the 20th percentile, like you're happy with it because he just does so much else. But yeah, it's spring training. Sammy and I were just watching him take grounders, and he would just like make like a routine play, and I'd be like, "See, Sammy, there's a guy." And then he would like make one mistake, and Sammy would just like turn his head slowly at me.
Dude, I hate it because I don't want him to fail at defense. I just have no. By the way, I feel like my voice is like coming back as the episode.
It's goes getting along. Better. I've noticed that. It is getting better.
I just got to keep talking. Dude, I want Rafi to do well. I really do. I would love to be wrong about the defense. I just like how I won't do the same thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
Who's your concern, guys, Sammy?
My concern, yeah, not Devers, because I feel like we kind of know what we're going to get. My concern is Nick Pivetta. And that's not to say he's not a guy with a high ceiling. We've seen what he can do. He has the new whirly bird pitch that he added, which is great. But like, I feel like the way he gets talked about by most people, fans and media, is that like, this is a starting pitcher. He's going to be our number two guy moving on. Like, no, we got to see it first. He got sent to the bullpen last year, lest we forget. And like, what, spring training? I know, and I don't want to keep referencing spring training stats, but he's pitched 18 innings. He struck out guys, which is good, but his ERA is at 5. Like, I don't know, man. Like, would it shock either of you if he didn't work out as a starter for the?
No.
I hate to be a dick. I don't want to be a dick, but it would be the third year in a row that he's tried to be a starter and didn't work. And then in the offseason, we're told, oh, he's done this, this, and that. Now he's ready. Like, I believe in him, but like, that doesn't mean I'm not concerned. Actually,
you're just acknowledging the downside. You're acknowledging that there's downside.
That was a little bit of fence riding for me, but like, yeah, he's capable. But do I think he'll, you know, be a number two starter? It gives me pause. So I just think the way that he has been discussed this offseason does not fit what he's done in his career yet. We'll see.
The fact of the matter here, Sammy, is that we're going to be doing fence riding regardless, because if you're like, yeah, I'm concerned that our starting second baseman is going to be for a while, it's going to be Pablo Reyes. Like, yeah, no shit. Like, you gotta pick someone who like people are kind of on board with, but you're just like, eh, hold the phone a little bit. So I think, yeah. And I think it's fair. We have seen Nick Pivetta regret, we saw him a couple years ago. It's like, he's an all-star. We were like hoping he was going to make the all-star game. And then for the rest of that year, it was bad.
Yeah. He's a bit of Jekyll and Hyde. Like, yeah. there's the games you go to Fenway and it's like, he's walking the world and he just can't buy a strike. And then there's times he pitches and he's like, he looks amazing. He's unhittable. He's got a repeatable delivery, which makes me a little bit more hopeful. I think when you watch him pitch, it's kind of like if anyone's ever pitched at any level, they want you to have like a delivery that you can repeat. I think Pivetta has that. We'll see. He just has to put it all together, which is a lot easier said than done.
I'm going to go with Masa Yoshida. I'm just a little concerned about Yoshida. He had a good day at the plate today as we're recording this. And like, obviously, like, most recent data makes me feel good in that regard. But, you know, he's coming off last year. Let's see, his last 2 months in August, he had a 640 OPS. In September and October, he had a 656 OPS. So this is a guy who an extended amount of data, his last 2 months of the season, the third of the season, just was not just not good. It was bad, and he wasn't giving you defense, and he doesn't run the base as well. So he has to hit. And now he's DHing, which means he really has to hit. And I'm not one of those people that says you need to have like 30 plus homers from the DH spot. I think production is production, but you got to see it. And his spring hasn't been terrible, but like, it's more or less been okay. Like, the numbers are better than I thought from the eye test. He's hitting 271 with a homer, 824 OPS. I'm surprised the OPS is as high as it is. I'm just a little bit like, I thought we might, I don't know, because it's spring training, so I don't want to talk like, oh, I'm disappointed in what I've seen stat wise but like, I kind of figured Yoshida had a shot to be like this big breakthrough guy this year with now he's DHing, and they worked with him in the offseason to try to build up his strength so he can make a full season, and haven't seen it yet. And the most recent data may show us that, like, we always talk about, oh, he's going to bounce back because he's DHing and stuff. But like, maybe pitchers have adjusted to him. Maybe that's why he wasn't good at the end of last year. Maybe it was partially because he was gassed, but partially because the league adjusted to him. So we're going to find out. I don't know. I love Yoshida, but I am slightly concerned there.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I mean, you got to adjust to the league as we know. So, and by the way, Brad Marchand just fought a guy who's 6'5". And he's 5'9".
That's on brand.
Jesus Christ.
That's our baby boy.
All right, I had to shout that out. I checked Twitter for a second and was like, oh my God, what's he doing? That's how Bruins need to wake up. Anyway, Red Sox.
For the next one, I want to just blow through this one quickly. So really quick, give me Trevor Story's home run total. Sammy, go first.
25 on the dot.
25. Pat, what do you got for Trevor Story's home run total?
26.
I'll go with 23. Stolen bases for Story, Sammy. Go.
23.
Pat?
22. I'm just going above, below. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to go with 18. I think they may hold him back a little bit just to keep him healthy. OPS, Sammy, for Story?
He's going to have a 802 OPS, 0.001 higher than his final year in Colorado.
I will go with 813.
Sammy, it's ridiculous. I was going to say 802, but I'll have to take... Really? Screw it. I'll go one step. I was going to go one step below you, but I'll go one step above you. 803.
We've been spending too much time together.
Yeah, it's we got to stop. Maybe we just sinking. Yeah, it's bad. Home run leader. Give me the leader and give me how many. Pat, what do you got?
Tristan Casas, 36.
Ooh, big year. Sammy, what do you got?
Devers, 41. He's going to break that 40 mark.
I've got Devers as well. I've got him at 39, which would be his career high by one. I think what's going to happen is he's going to get to 39 with like five games left in the year, and like we're all going to be like, oh, let's get him to 40. He just doesn't do it because anytime Devers swings out of his ass, that's when he doesn't hit the homers. So that's where I think it goes. We alluded to a little bit of Kenley Jansen stuff earlier in the episode. Will Kenley Jansen finish the season with the team? Sammy?
No.
Pat, you think he's going to finish the year with the team?
No, and I'll take it a step further. He'll be a Philadelphia Philly.
Ooh.
I like taking it a step further. I'll differ from you guys. I say he's going to be a member of the Red Sox to finish the season because I just think that the probability that either the Red Sox are too good to sell or that he's injured outweighs the chances that they are bad and he's healthy because people forget. Teams don't, outside of like the Red Sox and Schwarber, teams don't generally trade for injured players, especially guys like Kenley who have been up and down and up and down and up and down injury-wise. So I'll go there. It'll be interesting. Sammy commented when I wrote down that question, he commented LMAO. It's like, I got a loophole, man. I got a loophole for you.
We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. Kenley's cool. One of my favorite players, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Nice dude. We met Kenley this weekend. He's a nice guy. Chill dude. Which new reliever is going to be the most impactful this season? And it could be Isaiah Campbell, could be Greg Weiser, could be Justin Slayton, could be someone else. Who just went first? I'll kick to Pat. Pat, you go first. Which new reliever do you think is going to be? Isaiah Campbell?
Yeah, because his splits are, I mean, he's a very good relief pitcher against righties. His splits against lefties are also very good. I think he's a guy that you can put in any spot. And I think by the end, he'll be in some higher leverage spots. I think like Schreiber a couple years ago when he kind of broke through and he was in those high leverage spots, I think Campbell kind of finds himself in that kind of role because he is equally effective on the right side as he is the left. So that's my pick. I think Campbell will have a really, really strong year.
Sammy, who you got for this?
Yep, agree with Pat. I'm going with Campbell as well. I like the splits, like he mentioned. Also, I think it's interesting. There was never really a discussion like, is this guy going to make the roster or not? I feel like he just made the roster and we're all like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Even though I, to be totally honest, I had no clue who he was a year ago. So, yeah, means to me that the new pitching regime sees something they like in him. He's a big kid too. Like, that's a... It's a moose out there. So, yeah, Campbell, I'm excited to see him do work.
Yeah, love that slider. And it's crazy because I really feel like this question, we could have picked any of these guys and had plenty of justification for it. I'm also going to go with Isaiah Campbell. I can't believe we're all taking the same guy because it really was that much of like a three-sided coin flip. You've got Isaiah Campbell, the guy who's got the weird righty-lefty split who like hasn't like allowed a run all spring and had a really good year last year. You've got Greg Weissert, whose stuff looks like the best stuff you've ever seen in your fucking life. And then you've got Justin Slayton, like the mystery man. And we've seen that work. And they're talking about him the same as they talked about Whitlock a few years back. Like, you kind of love that. He had big hype going into the Rule 5. You could have picked any of these guys. But Campbell, I love that slider. I like that he's done it already. Like, Weissert was up and down with the Yankees, and Slayton has not thrown a big league inning. I'm really high on all three. I think all three of these guys are going to have success. I thought Weissert would maybe start in AAA, but he's had an incredible spring. He's made a huge impression. They've been working with him. I think we're in line for big years from all three of these guys. It's crazy that we all picked the same guy, but I mean,
when I picked Campbell, anyway. I was like, oh, sweet. Everyone's going to pick Slayton, so I'll just go with Campbell. But, like, I don't know. I agree with everything said here. Because Slayton's like the analytics darling this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, no, that stuff plus, like, it's the middle relief in this bullpen is going to be fun.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
What the fuck is stuff plus? I always hear stuff plus. Everyone references stuff plus. Does anyone actually know what it is? What is stuff
plus? I got
no
earthly idea. No, I don't know.
I figure it's like the pitch movement and shape.
Yeah.
Can anyone explain what stuff plus is? It's used like it's a normal thing.
Listen, I think it is an important thing. I don't know. But one thing I will say is last year after like two starts, I'm playing fantasy baseball and I'm looking at the stuff plus charts. And there's one guy that's just blowing people away in terms of stuff plus. And I'm going to have to look up his final yearly stats as I'm talking about it. But it was Graham Ashcraft.
Oh,
from the Reds.
Cincinnati,
oh, yeah. Yeah, he throws rockets. You know who had good stuff plus? Darwin's and Hernandez.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know who else had some really good stuff plus?
Caleb Ort.
Oh, no, Caleb Ort did, though. Okay. Graham Ashcraft last year, despite being insane in stuff plus, at least to start the year, had a 4.76 ERA and went 7-9. 145 innings. Like, take it for what it's worth. It is important. It's not, there's no end all be all stat, including war. We've had that discussion a gazillion times, both on and off air. There's no end all be all stats. You got to look at it all. But yeah, these guys are all impressive. They've all impressed me this spring. They've all impressed all of us. Like, I think that middle relief is going to be really good. And if like Kenley gets hurt or if Martin gets hurt or regresses, there's going to be guys I think that could step up into those roles.
I want to put out like a sarcastic tweet and be like, what do you like about stuff plus? Because someone's going to respond and be like, actually, stuff plus is important when you're calculating. I'm like, to feel really smart.
Sammy, can you do your, I'm curious right now, could you do the MBTA impression or is that off the table?
Next up, Boylston.
Okay. Jesus, dude, you're still capable. All right, next question. We've got three left. Which of the big three prospects will make their major league debuts this year? Sammy, who you got? Meyer, Teal, Anthony.
I got Teal because I think catchers just come up quicker, and he's a college guy, so he's more developed. Meyer and Anthony are both very young, great prospects, but they're super young experience-wise. So yeah, Teal, position, age, development. I think it makes sense.
Pat?
Yeah. If Marcelo were healthy last year. No. I think if Marcelo were healthy last year, I would have said Marcelo. But yeah, I think Teal is the answer here. I think he is on just scorching through the minors right now. He's had a great spring. And he's one of those guys though where age-wise, he is where he should be in terms of on the cusp of the MLB. There's no reason to hold a guy like that back. So I'm going with Sammy. I think Kyle Teal is up at some point this year.
Oh, well, actually, Gordo, let me backtrack. I don't think any of them make it this year, but if I had to choose, it would be Teal.
I think Teal is up this year.
That's
I'll
fair.
Do that. I think he is up this year, right. About August, September.
Yes, let's see it. Well, but then you got to get rid of Reese, and Reese hit a grand slam spring training, so...
Reese, that was awesome. Reese hit that grand slam like what, like 5 feet to our right and 20 feet over our head. Like,
dude, the ball goes in the air and Gordo and I both at the same time going, no fucking way.
Yeah, we were like, what? The king of clutch, big grand slam, late the game.
Boom. But yeah, I hope you like that.
For mine, I dabbled between none. I dabbled with all three. I dabbled with each guy, each of these guys on their own. I'm taking Teal and Meyer. I'm going to go with two. I think both of those guys make it. It's going to be late in the season stuff. But like with Rafael last year, like he had a little bit of double A experience. He started in double A, shot his way up to triple A. I think all those guys will make it to triple A during the season. The only guy who may not is Roman Anthony because he's so young, but I think he's that good that they're going to do it. I think that Teal and Meyer go up, and Teal comes up because of need, and his defense is already so good that, like, if you're a good defensive catcher, like you said, Sammy, there's really no reason to hold you back. And then Meyer, I just think, has been around. He's played at all these levels. He's been in the minors for some time, and if he stays healthy, I still really, really believe in what he's going to do. God, I love these prospects, man. Like, I really cannot wait for that next wave to get up here.
Quick Fort Myers story. It was funny. We were having dinner at this like bar restaurant and, you know, just minding our own business. And Marcelo Meyer walks in and like nobody knew who he was. But like in 5 years from now, I feel like if he did that, everybody would know who he is.
Yeah.
Especially in like Fort Myers or Boston, where there's a lot of Red Sox fans. So I was just thinking like, man, he better enjoy that while he can. Enjoy the privacy, because once he becomes a big leaguer, whoo, he's going to be a wanted man.
That's a thing. It's a thing. Like if 3 years into his career, Xander Bogaerts walked into that place, it's like, okay. second to last question. I have a space in between this and the next question because the next question is the all-encompassing one. But second to last question, what is your hottest take? Pat, your hottest Red Sox take right now.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck you, Montgomery. You went to the Diamondbacks.
No!
What? Oh! It's over. It's finally over.
No! Over.
How the hell did we get outbid by the Diamondbacks?
It's over!
Like but like in all seriousness, like what the hell?
I don't care that they didn't get him. I'm just glad that it's over. Wait, he signed.
No, I'm pretty bummed that like at the end of it, it's not even the Yankees getting him. It's like the goddamn.
All right, shut up.
Snakes. No, I mean, like, come on. You're getting, like, outbid by the snakes? The guy lived in Boston this entire time. And now he's going to the inverse side of the country?
All right, wait. I want
to
see
Coop, am I able to play something on this, or can it only be you?
You can send it to me.
Can I put it in the chat? No.
So Passan had it?
Yep.
Yeah, Passan had it.
Breaking left-handed starter Jordan Montgomery and the Arizona Diamondbacks are in agreement on a free agent deal pending physical, a source tells ESPN. Do you think someone's like DMing the ESPN Twitter account? Just like, hey man, I heard this thing. Like, why did he always says telling ESPN? Like, does he not get his own sources anymore?
A goddamn company man.
Is he the company though?
That's what I think. He's a company.
Is he
man.
The goddamn mouse? I'm pretty sure he's the mouse owns him.
I want to see the
Disney.
Money.
Oh, Disney. Gosh. Coop, I have a special message from someone who would like to speak on the podcast.
All right. This is going to...
I can play it into my mic.
I don't have a MacBook, so this is going to... I'm going to have to put it into Google Photos.
No, hold on, Coop. I'll play it.
To pull it up on Google Photos.
Don't play it.
No.
I have a message. He sent me it.
Play it.
Ready?
Calls when you make mistakes, I've let you down. I want to apologize for the disruption I caused when you make mistakes.
That's a message. What?
That was beautiful.
That didn't work at all.
That's John Henry.
Wow. He talks?
He talked.
Dude, this sucks. All right. Sorry.
So you guys not at all. You guys are kind of like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever the fuck.
I didn't expect to get him, so no.
Oh, there.
Okay.
Shut up! Shut the fuck up! God damn it. Fuck. Socks. All right, whatever.
All right.
I believe in the guys.
Was any of your hottest takes about Jordan Montgomery?
My hottest take, though.
Wait, you don't get a jersey.
I know. That's what I'm really disappointed about.
My deal will pay him $25 million in the first season, vesting option for the second year.
Oh.
Wait, say it again, Pat. Say that again.
$25 million this season, vesting option for the second season. Vesting options worth 25. So it's essentially a 1+1, a 2-year deal worth 50.
Wow. Fuck it. I don't even want to discuss
it. So they're going to run it back next year?
Oh.
But he was Wait. Why would he sign that? Because now they can attach a duo on him.
Yeah, no. And not only that, it's if the option vests, now he's going to be held on a 1-year deal for the next year. And then even if he performs then there's a qualifying offer.
I would imagine the Red Sox pulled out, the Yankees came in, they also wouldn't play along with Boris, and Boris was just like, we'll keep walking, and then they just wound up with the Snakes.
I mean,
like, I think him winding up with the Snakes shows how desperate things became, and like that they lost. Like, Boris, this is a giant L for Boris.
Yeah,
this is worst offseason ever. God, I'm so whatever. All right, keep going. Red Sox.
Man.
My all hardest take is that Tanner Houck will not be in the rotation after the All-Star break.
Wow, that is a hot take.
Fancy.
I like
perfect
that
timing
take.
Too.
Well, I don't like the hot take. I just like your heat. Sammy, what's your hottest take?
I think Devers is going to win the Gold Glove. No, my hot take is that Tristan Casas starts the All-Star game for the American League at first base or DH, but he's going to start.
Who are some first basemen in the AL that he's going up against for that? There's Vlad Jr.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I didn't even look. I was just like, it's going to be Casas. Like, Vlad Jr., Mountcastle's good. Josh Naylor.
Pascantino.
Vinny Pez. Yeah, right, dude. What do you know about Vinny Pez?
I like the take. All right, my hottest take. You want my hot take?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery's going to no-hit the Red Sox. No, I'm kidding. my hottest take is that Tyler O'Neill is going to put himself in a position to top the Andrew Benintendi contract. 5 years, $75 million. He's going to put himself in a position to beat that.
All right. I like that one.
I'm a firm believer in Tyler O'Neill this year.
You think a guy who's – he hasn't played consistently in 2 years. You think he's going to get 5 years?
Look how shit Benintendi was.
I mean, okay. I don't really – that. It's just like him, I feel like he'd get an option-laden or incentive-laden account. Excuse me. That's a hot take.
It's a hot take. Maybe he gets 4 years in a higher AAV, but he's gonna have a big year and he's gonna cash in. And I don't think it's gonna be with the Red Sox. I think there's gonna be another team that does it, and the Red Sox will open up that spot to get Roman Anthony up there. But yeah, I'm a big believer in what Tyler O'Neill is gonna do this year. All right, last but not least, and we have been going at this, but that's what it's all about for the season predictions. Last but not least, the win total prediction. Sammy, how many games are the Red Sox going to win this year? They have won 78 each of the past two seasons.
Wait, wouldn't it suck if they won 79 and then it's like they still have a bad record and they don't get the three-peat? That would be a nightmare. But my win total, and I really hope I don't regret this, I'm going to go 82. I think they're going to be just over 500, respectable team. Not really like a, you know, like a big time contender, but they'll be alive to the end. And I think they're going to surprise people. Not in a crazy way. Not a crazy way. Nope. They're going to win 82 games, 82 and 80. And I think that would be a step in the right direction.
Pat?
I think they win 83. Ooh. I think they win 83. I think the roster has upside. I think the pitching has upside. The bullpen's already really, really good. The defense will be better. That being said, I think they win 83 and finish last in the division. So it doesn't matter. I don't think they'll be a playoff team. I don't think they'll be in the wild card hunt necessarily. Like, I think they'll finish the year maybe 3.5-4 games out of it. But I think they'll have a lot of teams in front of them in that hunt. I think they'll be better than last year. But, yeah, I'm going to 83.
You guys are both more optimistic than me. Last year, this team got to spring training, and the vibes were awesome. And they came out of the gate strong, and they finished with 78 wins. This year, they did not do much of anything to improve the roster. They came into spring training, and to the credit of Alex Cora, to the credit of the coaching staff, to the credit of the team, the vibes are high. But there's so many different things that could go wrong and derail the season. Like one guy, like the Braves, if like Ronald Acuna goes down, like they're going to be just fine. The Red Sox, if they lose one of Rafi or one of Casas or Rafi, they're screwed. If Bayo goes down, they're screwed. If Pivetta goes down in particular, because he's going to eat innings, or if he doesn't have a good season, they're screwed. There's so many different things that could derail it. It's just frustrating because I really, really, really like the players that they have on the team, but they just lack that top echelon of guys that can keep the good players in those roles where it's like, you can be yourself, and if you take a step forward, that's great and we'll be even better, but we don't need that from you. But this year's team needs that. And I'm just going to predict the third straight season of 78 wins. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they're better. Last year, I had them somewhere in the mid to high 80s.
86 this year, you had last year.
I had 86. Okay, I believe that. 86. This year, I'm taking it down a notch. I hope to be proven wrong in that regard, but I just can't get there yet.
What would you give them if they had them? I'm just curious. If Giolito was healthy, where would you land?
Probably would have gone with around 81 if Giolito were there.
Yeah, a few more games. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We're all in the same ballpark, like the hovering around 500.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the rotation's kind of the same. The bullpen, I'd say, got a little bit better, actually, which is crazy. Defense got better. Offense, we're kind of in between-ish. So I'm thinking slight improvement, four more wins. But I don't think any of the three of us gave anything outlandish.
Yep. That right there is how you preview a fucking season. And the Jordan Montgomery news breaks in the middle of it.
Oh, wait. Damn it. One last kick in the balls regarding that contract.
Oh, good.
The vesting option kicks in if he makes 10 starts.
So it's basically a two-year $50
million. Yes.
I mean, the AAV is good. The AAV is good, but that total dollar, like that, God, I would have given that so fast.
Yeah, but you're telling me like if the Sox offered like 20 a year over 4 years, that's not a bad deal.
I said 3 years, 69. That was my guess. 69, 23, 23, 23. I don't think that's whatever.
Yeah,
I can't. I never want to hear about Jordan Montgomery again. I'm so tired of him.
Oh, I'm so glad it's over, and I'm so glad it's not carrying into the season. Who's the best free agent left? Is it like Brandon Belt, Sammy, we were talking about in spring training? Like, Pat, is there anyone we're forgetting? Who else is left?
Who'd you say?
Brandon Belt, yeah.
Brandon Belt. Michael A. Taylor, is he still a free agent?
Pirates. No, he went to the Pirates.
Oh, right, yeah.
Tommy Pham is still out there.
That's crazy. Damn. He had a really, really good season last year. I feel like that got completely skipped over. He had a good season. He's a veteran. He'll punch you in the face.
Yeah. I mean, that might – because no one big had, like, those CJ Cron option, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of those types of guys.
Yeah.
Tommy Pham. He 1.5 war, 111 OPS plus, 22 stolen bases. That's a good player. What the hell? I know he's old, but you can probably get him for a short-term deal, not that much.
Yeah. Love no, it's Tommy crazy. Fan. It's crazy. Crazy that he's out there. He deserves. You know who hasn't? I mean,
I don't think, signed a minor league deal yet. And I think he's completely washed. I don't think he ever gets back to the majors, but it's at least worth a minor league deal. Guy like Austin Meadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't signed.
Right? Vertigo issue?
I think he had some. It might have been vertigo, but he also had some mental health stuff. And then he had some injuries and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Meniere's disease he had.
Oh, yeah. That one's a bitch.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. I have family members with it. It is brutal. It just happens all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Tough spinning. But yeah.
I treat that.
Yeah. Tough, man. Dude. All right. Anyway, fuck hearing about Jordan Munker. I'm sure he's a great guy. Nothing against him. I just don't want to hear about it.
Yeah. Like when I thought we were oversaturated with the Yamamoto stuff, and that thing ended like, that was in December that ended. And the Jordan Montgomery stuff pretty much started the second that ended. And we are an opening day eve as we record this. And it's finally coming to an end, and we can just focus on the goddamn baseball that's being played. Like, there's no free agents out there that it's like, how are they not signing this guy? Like, it's over. It is over.
God, I hate John Henry right now.
But let's get out of here quickly, though. We've been going long, so I want these Nuff Sets to be really fucking quick from you guys and me. I've got a quick one. Sammy, you want to go first?
Yeah. I just want to issue a warning to everybody to watch out for Gordo, because Gordo is now full on training MMA to the highest degree. He learned how to throw a jab over the weekend. Gordo, you want to demonstrate the proper jab form to the camera?
All right, you ready? No, Gordo, cool. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, bring it. Okay.
See, I'm twisting my fist.
Yeah, see, he turns it over and then he brings it back. There you go, Gordo. Woo! Don't mess with
my fucking mic doing this shit. Let's go. Yeah,
you see Gordo in the street? You see him?
Gordo, real quick. Can you stand up behind your chair and demonstrate it for us, like full standing? I feel like that would be incredible for the viewers at home.
Gordo knows. I'm gonna stand up for my Nuff Said, so I'll do it when I stand up. I'll do my Nuff Said right now. I'm taking my headset off though, so I'm not gonna be able to hear you guys.
Let's see it.
My Nuff Said, I'll talk and then stand up. My Nuff Said is that Dunkin's ad during the Super Bowl where Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Tom Brady were wearing those incredible jumpsuits, and Dunkin' said they were going to put them up for sale, and they did. But the jumpsuits in the commercial had like Red Sox logos and writing all over them, and then the ones that they were selling had none, and it was literally just like a big-ass Dunkin' ad. I found a link on Etsy. Some beautiful soul on Etsy was making these things, and with the Red Sox logo. And I was able to ask them to even add another one on the stomach. So if you order, DM me on Twitter @BostonSportsGordo. DM me if you want this link, I'll send it to you. This was awesome. It probably came in like a month, but the Dunkin' people apparently haven't even gotten theirs yet. So I'm like the only one who has this thing. I'm going to stand up right now and show you what I got.
And do the jab too. Oh, look at that. Wow, that's cool, actually. You're going to do the... Okay. Yeah, remember, train tracks. Nice. Great.
Thank you. That's my TED Talk.
Yeah, and to for some background on why Gordo is becoming a professional MMA fighter, we were talking about who would be the easiest to murder on the podcast, and unfortunately it was Gordo, so... He's taking matters into his own hands. So if you try to attack Gordo in the streets, he'll jab your face off.
Hell yeah.
Coop, I'm coming after you. Pat, you got enough said?
I'm not worried at all. I was with you on there when you said that, just showing how unconcerned I am of you.
You didn't just see those punches, those jabs, Coop? And what, you think?
Dude, I could climb away from you. Are you kidding me? You guys have never seen me climb. Pat knows my climb.
You've never seen. Have you guys? Wait. This is just bringing something up. Have you guys ever eyeballed Coop's wingspan?
Is it long or is
done
it short?
For.
No, it's got to be fucking done for. Hand to God, it's got to be almost 6.5 feet.
Okay, same. Coop, we have to see who has a bigger wingspan. Spider I have a weirdly long, useless wingspan as well. So
if I knew how to throw a breaking ball, I could have been the next Pedro, but from New England and not Pedro. But I could have been.
Damn, what a missed opportunity.
Right.
Wow. So you can't climb though. This is like a.
What do you mean I can't climb? I can climb all I want.
No, it's a fight. You can't run away.
Says you. You ever run away from a fight before? It's the best. I don't know who ever like brought up like your cowardice if you run away. The French do it all the time. I'll do it too. All right.
Oh god!
Great feeling running away from your problems.
Cool. We're gonna have to get in the ring because you're not gonna be able to run away from me when we're in the ring.
Gordo, yeah. I'll knock you on your ass.
Wait until you.
Dude, I'm training, Gordo, Coop. Get ready.
Wait until he learns a second punch.
Yeah, wait until you learn the wheel kick, pal.
I was gonna say I'm gonna develop some kicks. My defense is gonna be impeccable. You're done.
Yeah. Wait till Gordo throws a fake and hits you in the side of the head with a question mark kick, you dick.
I'm going to get kicked one time. I'll be like, what the fuck, hey, Gordo?
He knows the jab, so now we're going to go to wheel kick.
The fuck? You just kicked me?
Is that your question foot? Mark, it's like the Zohan when his foot just comes up and smacks him.
Yeah, it's like, how'd you get it that high?
Look, he's got a hood on.
Oh, yeah, look at this. I'm like one of these guys. I got like headphones over the hood. I look sick. This should be an album cover, like.
Do you remember from COVID the guy that was teaching the self-defense stuff on TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I picture, like, me and Gordo would fight each other.
Dude, he...
No, would just be
this
bad.
Is how we would... We'd be like...
It'll be like Pat, the Shane Gillis skit of the militia group.
Oh, my God. What a bunch of fucking losers.
I love that skit so much.
That guy cornered a UFC fight. The guy, the Detroit defense, whatever, he cornered a UFC fight and like was just standing there like, good job.
Was it the winning corner?
No.
I don't remember. I don't
think it was not.
Okay. Man, ultimate grift by him. Good for him.
Well, okay, I'll train Gordo. Pat, you train Coop.
Sounds good.
Great.
See, this is going to be good because Pat's just going to train Coop and get him all big. And Sammy's going to be teaching me actual, like, finesse and strategy.
Yeah. All right.
Like, Coop's going to come in, like, he's going to put on, like, 20 pounds of muscle and then he's going to get his ass kicked.
You can't bench press your way out of a fight, Coop.
Yes, you can. Yes. Well, you really shouldn't because it's awful.
Just to stand 6 feet away and just use his monkey arms just from across the room.
Like Mrs. Incredible.
I'm willing to put a bet down, and like if the Red Sox do so poorly, we might have to become the entertainment, and I will helmet box Gordo if the Red Sox fall below like what, like a 333 average for a week.
Clip it.
Well, no, Gordo has to agree as well.
For a week?
If the Red Sox were a calendar week. Are below 333 win average.
Dude, you don't think they're going to go 1-6 over the week span? No, dude, no. God.
Gordo, it's fine. Gordo, you'll win. Don't worry.
It's only helmet boxing.
The issue is I could win, but even if I win, I'm still like sore and like bruised up after it. Like, ugh.
Yeah, would your fiance be upset if you had a broken nose for your wedding?
I mean, I was going to say no, but for the wedding, yeah, probably. I had a broken nose.
Well, so, all right. So, barring the wedding, so I guess like outside the months of like September to like, or I guess like, yeah, to the end of September. So, I guess like the month of September is like that's our unsanctioned fight. But if the Red Sox do anything outside that, we can have a sanctioned fight.
I say we
fight
just do it
months.
On the beach after the wedding.
Oh,
ooh, there is an after party till 1 a.m.
Oh, I know.
On the beach. Yeah.
Pat texted me, not to say who's invited or anything. Pat texted me on the side. He was just like, yo, Gordo's got a fucking bonfire. Gordo's got a fucking bonfire on the beach.
All right,
Gordo, we'll get back to training. Don't worry. We're going to teach. Next on the list, you're going to learn how to throw a cross, which is when you throw with your strong hand.
See, I don't know that. You're gonna have the upper hand on that.
See, yeah, this is where you lose.
I seriously think Pat, we should do the 33 below 33 for a week.
No, if they do it for like
a month.
Oh
no, that's far too long. 2 weeks.
Dude, they could do that. They basically did that in September.
Yeah, they got to be real low.
Yeah, but over a week, like that's just one bad week. We've seen plenty of teams lose seven in a row.
There no, Gordo, yeah, but like, the season right win back. Loss. The season win loss. The season win loss percent under 333 for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they have to be sitting under that for a week?
Yeah, so like say they hit May and they're like
I thought he meant if they have in any given week under a
333.
No, like no, 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 no,
no. Oh. Okay, yeah, fine.
They're gonna be approaching like the trade deadline and they're gonna be like 20-60 and Gordo's gonna be sweating bullets.
Starting after the first week. Yeah, if they do that, then like yeah, we'll become the entertainment.
And Gordo is not gonna be sweating bullets because he's gonna be properly trained and he's gonna feel confident. He's gonna have sharp hands, good defense, and he's gonna know how to move.
All right, guys, I'm not letting this podcast go an hour and a half. Pat, give me your enough said.
I am Knuff. That's it.
Beautiful.
Okay, you are Knuff.
You're a beautiful boy.
You are Knuff. Oh, God. Anything else before I wrap this thing?
Nope.
No, I just want to stop talking. My throat
Sammy,
is killing
to be,
me.
To be honest with you, you sound significantly better than when we started. But if your throat's hurting, you got to go gargle some salt. Yeah.
I think I just got to keep talking and it's going to feel better. But the caveat to that is it hurts to talk.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But yeah, on that note, this has been episode 57 of Play Tessie. Before you head out, remember to hit that subscribe button. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app. Hit that 5-star button and hit that subscribe button. Get those notifications. If you're on YouTube, hit that thumbs up. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think of our predictions. Which one of us is a fucking idiot? Who is not a fucking idiot? Leave it in the comments. Follow us on social at PlayTessie, both Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, I think that's it. So on that note, it's been episode 57 of PlayTessie, the season preview episode. And the next episode that you'll hear from us will be like a legitimate series preview. Like it's going to be in season. Like, the Red Sox are going to be playing games. We've done 57 episodes of this without games, which means literally 58 of these things will have been recorded before the Red Sox even play a regular season game, which is a testament to us because we're just that good at this. But we're hitting that hour and a half mark soon, so I'm just going to wrap this thing up. For Sammy, for Pat, for Coop behind – actually, not for Coop because he thinks he can beat me in a fight. So
yes, it's grass there, buddy boy.
I wish you could kick yourself. I wish I could kick you. But for Sammy and for Pat and not for Coop, it's been Gordo here on Play Tessie, episode 57. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Toodaloo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.